And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
David Arthur did knock the ball out of the park last week. He did. He's sitting right over here, and I'm not saying it just because he was here. David spoke at Operation Save America last night, and I told David, he's right here, so he's hearing me. I told him this last night. It's the best I've heard him because they condensed it down. He only had about 30 minutes, and it kept him from running down some bunny trails he normally runs down. Not that there's anything wrong with a bunny trail because they in themselves are enlightened. But he knew he really had to tighten it up, and I'm telling you, man, it was unbelievably powerful. And we have to do the best we can. David's not putting any money in my pocket. We got to help this guy. David Arthur is a danger to two groups. And I said, I got the chance to introduce him last night. He's dangerous to two groups. The first group he's dangerous to is the church that doesn't believe in the power of God. He's really, really dangerous to them. And I watched The Crown last night as David was speaking, and they've sat there in amazement as they listened to it. They sat in amazement. And I realized something. The reason the church doesn't welcome him is because the people in the church have swallowed the lie that you're born that way. They have a member of their family who's dealing with homosexuality, a cousin, a nephew, a child. And they've struggled with it, and their heart's broken over it. And finally, the church has said, it's okay, they're born that way. And they have finally settled that in their heart. And then he walks in. He gets up there and says, that's a lie. You're not born that way. Here's what happened. I was molested, and I was recruited. And all of a sudden, their world's turned upside down because they've already settled in their heart that God made their kid. Does this make sense, Ray? It makes sense. So they love hearing that miracle of David's conversion, but then they ask, well, why didn't it happen to my kid? Why hasn't it happened to my kid? And so they love the fact that David's been radically saved and love all that, but they don't want to hear it. It's sad. So he is a great, great danger to the status quo church. Somebody say amen. David, say amen. You're a famous amen, right?
Amen, brother.
Huh? He is a grave danger to the status quo inside the box church. Anyone hear it? And the second group that he's a nuclear bomb to is to the homosexual movement itself. He's the worst nightmare because he counters everything they say. Wasn't born that way. Was recruited into it. I was molested. I was recruited into it. Had some type of emotional damage. See, I've learned from David that not every homosexual was molested, although David would say many were, but that they were wounded. There was some type of wounding that took place in them. They were harmed. They were wounded. Maybe it was an absent dad. Maybe it was an overbearing mom. Maybe it was who knows? Maybe they were bullied. Whatever it was, we are dealing with brokenness. Wouldn't you say that, David? That's what it is. It's brokenness. See. And brokenness makes them vulnerable to the,
absolutely.
To the lure of homosexuality. And so I've watched David work the streets. I've watched him talk to people, and I watch how he studies people. And I see what he sees. I'm beginning to see what he sees. See, we're out on the streets of Indianapolis. Oh, my heart's full of some stuff I want to share with you today. I pray the Lord would be with us here. It's woundedness. And the woundedness makes you vulnerable. And the vulnerability opens you up to demonic spirits. I mean, I don't think it's any more complicated than that. And once you drink of that broth, Ray, once you drink of that I'm homo broth, and then you drink it every day, and that's who you become. Those demons, and there are many, aren't there, David? Legion, huh? It's not just when you're dealing with homosexuality. David's helping me to see that it's not just one spirit, man. Boy, you are just open to so many different things. So powerful testimony. I'll let him talk about it here in a second. Powerful testimony last night, and it was really good. And then Elizabeth Johnson, the activist mom, and she spoke after that, and that was good. It was really, really powerful, and a lot of young people there, a lot of good stuff going on. And we're going to hit the streets today. In fact, we're doing one of my favorite events at Operation Save America, is something called an ecclesiastical court. And what the ecclesiastical court is we're going to go to the state house, and we're going to hold the Supreme Court of Indiana, because we're in Indiana. We're going to hold the Supreme Court of Indiana in contempt of the Court of Almighty God. It's a very, very powerful thing. And then all 400 of us are going to pray down the street, not on the streets, but we're going to pray down the sidewalk, down to this war memorial where we've been holding court all week. And there's going to be 400 of us down there. It's going to be something. Interesting one. Just be with me here, Lord. I got a lot of things I'm trying to. I don't want to bounce around and lose all of you. Ray's right here beside me. I don't know. I could turn the camera and show he's here, and David's sitting over here. I'm going to show a clip of my wife. She's going to text me here and says, you better not show that. But I'm going to show it anyway here. She jumped on the microphone last night. I said, oh, man, I feel good here. Or yesterday afternoon. I feel good. Everybody thinks I'm the radical one. And Michelle uncorks it. It's great. It was great. But we were standing out in front. I wasn't there. But someone was standing out in front of a bank in downtown Louisville. I'm sorry, Indianapolis, handing out literature. Guys, you got to see this display. We set up this display and we turn on those microphones, and that sound is just reverberating all downtown. It is remarkable. And, so people go down a couple blocks and hand out literature. We got people on blocks and blocks down away from the thing because the noise is so loud. I mean, that doesn't sound right. You can hear it so clearly, the preaching and the music. We're standing on corners and handing out literature. Well, this bank, somebody comes out of the bank and they say, you can't be here. I said to my wife, you can't be here. You guys got to get out of here. She said, well, why? What do you mean we can't be here? Well, you're near an ATM. You're not allowed to be near an ATM. And Michelle goes back and forth with him. And I was down at the display. And so she comes running down. She told them, she said, I'm going to go get my lawyer, meaning me. And she runs down and gets me, and she's just stomping mad like I ain't never seen her, you know? And she says, she's telling me the whole story. And I just said, oh, well, don't worry about it. Oh man, her hair stood up on the back of her neck. She says, what are you talking about? I'm not going to walk away when I have the right. I want to see the law. Yada, yada. Just to stay married, you know? I said, okay. So I went back down with her, and the cops show up. Bank calls the cops, and we're all out front there standing, holding our ground. The cops go in and they talk, and they come back out, and the police officer, the sergeant, came over to me. Very nice, very, very friendly. He came over to me and said, sir, listen, so I just want you to know, everybody here wants to take away your First Amendment rights, and we're not going to let them do it. But I want you to know, in all my time with the police force here in Indianapolis, we've had the KKK in here. We've had the Black Lives Matter. We've had them all here. So I've never seen anything like the reaction we're having because of what you guys are doing. I've never seen anything like it. He said our phones never stop ringing. And I get thinking about that. Why? Why is that their phones never stop ringing? Do you have any idea how many people walking in downtown Indianapolis have been involved in abortion? Do you have any idea? 60 million abortions, probably more than that, truth be told. How many guilty people are walking up and down the streets? And there's pictures out there, and we're preaching out there, and they are guilty and angry. See, that's a gospel message, isn't it? You can hide your guilt. You can hide your anger. When Hebrews 10:24, when we provoke them to love and to good works, they won't even look at us. They won't even look at us. So that was a powerful thing. I don't want to do that right now. Yeah, Lord, I'm going to do that right now. Here, Ray, you talk for a minute while I get this thing queued up. Here.
Okay.
Let me get my coffee out of the way so I'm still.
All right. One thing I'd like to share is there's a lot of, what's really encouraging, there's a lot of youth out there that are out there, like amazing kids, even 16 and under. Well, I was with these two girls. I forget who they were with, but this lady and her daughter walked by and started engaging with them. Now, this elder lady had an abortion, and she's with her daughter, and they're both starting engaging with the two younger girls, and they're holding their own. You know, it was really a great testimony because this woman was trying to justify her own abortion in her heart, and she was saying, well, to the girls, you got to go and research the brain because it's all about the brain. When the brain's developed, then it becomes a child. This is the argument that she had to have inside her in order to justify the abortion she was having. So as we started breaking down her logic, she started losing her argument, and she started becoming more defensive. By the time the whole thing was over, she blew up and she shook her fist at God and started swearing at her and walked away. And her daughter that's alive was in strong defense of her mother. She kept saying, well, if she didn't deport that first child, I wouldn't have what I have today. She wouldn't have been able to take care of me. So it was all about me and trying to push that guilt. So we're running into all kinds of people down there. And Dave's about ready to share what happened. Tell the rich people and there. So here's Dave back.
Well, you know, Frank Campana, some of you know Frank. Most of you probably don't know who Frank is. Thanks, Ray. Probably don't know. Frank Campana told a story yesterday. You know, we hear all the time, don't use the pictures. The pictures turn people off and all that. I showed you yesterday the display that we have up. Well, Frank Campana he walked over to the side of the display. And there was a guy sitting over there, literally on his knees, looking at the picture we call Malachi. Malachi is a picture of a aborted baby. And they gave him the name Malachi because he was speaking prophetically to the next generation, Malachi. And so we named him Malachi, the picture. Everybody calls that poster, that's Malachi. It's Malachi. And Frank walks out there and he looks, and there's this guy over on his knees, looking at Malachi, sobbing, just sobbing. Grown man, like me, although I'm not fully grown yet. I still got some more growing to do. But a grown man over sobbing. And Frank went over and said, what's going on? What's the matter, man? What do you think I can do? And this guy goes, tells this unbelievable story about how his grandson was given, his daughter was having some complications with their pregnancy. They went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, golly, this isn't good. There's going to be a 10% chance of this baby making it. We probably ought to go ahead and abort it. We ought to go. And the family got together and said, Ken said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God, and we're going to have the baby. And the gentleman shared with Frank, pulled up his cell phone, and brought up a picture of his grandson. You know what his grandson's name was? Malachi.
Huh?
Malachi. Powerful, man. It's powerful. This is probably going to cost me my marriage, but I'm going to do it. So my wife, my little, I'm going to try to hold this up here. I don't know if you guys, I'm going to try to do this and let you hear the sound. Michelle is the sweetest little creature God ever made. And she just wants everybody to get along. And she just had enough of it. And she came up. She said, I got something I got to say. And I said, all right. And so she'll never do this. And this is about, I don't know, a minute and a half long. Folks, listen, they're walking dead men. They're zombies. America's full of zombies. Especially downtown where all that money and all that wealth, and all those high rise buildings and everybody chasing after the dollar. And we're standing out there and as Michelle said, the homeless people have a bigger heart than the average person walking up and down. The homeless people, they care more. They know abortion's wrong. So I want to play this at the risk of my marriage. Ray, see if you can hold this under here for me. At the risk of my marriage, here's what Michelle said. Let's get it up here a little bit more. And let me hit the button. We'll hear what Michelle had to say yesterday when she got to speak.
Why? You don't look up. You don't take literature. Your heads are buried in the sand. You're apathetic and God-obsessed. I wish you hired cold or lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out. Wake up, Indianapolis. We're here to give you a message. The homeless people, they care more about what's going on than you do. You snooty office workers. Get over here and ask questions. Be curious. What is wrong with you? Abortion is the blood currency of Satan. Don't you get it? Jesus Christ took our sins, and his blood paid for our redemption. And Satan is using the blood of these innocent babies to dwell in our land for his purpose. Wake up, Indianapolis. Wake up. Get out of your slumber. Come over and talk to us. Aren't you curious why we're here? Aren't you curious why these guys are here? What is wrong with you? You think you're so smart? I got a college education. I'm a teacher, and I want you to know what he said. They are teaching your kindergarteners how to have sex in public schools. I sub all the time, and I see it. Wake up! They are teaching your children the doctrine of sex. You better wake up now before you lose your kids. And everything you want to try to teach them. It's true. It is true. I am in there every day. But I'm just saying, your apathy is killing you and killing this country. Get over here and look at these pictures. Ask these people what's going on. Get out of your slumber and do something for the Lord. Especially if you call yourself Christian. Amen.
Oh, I hope I'm still married. I hope I'm still married. It's good. Lion and the lamb will lay down together. One more thing, then I want to open it up here a little bit. I don't want to dominate so much. One other thing that happened yesterday. I got down there. It was overwhelming, really. There's this great big guy in a wheelchair. Great big guy. I'm telling you, bigger than a house. Just bigger than a house in a wheelchair. And he's motorizing around, and I walk up to him, and I said, what's the matter, sir? I could tell he was really, really angry. And he starts telling me his story. In jail. He doesn't have any money. He's getting ripped off by his landlord. He tries and tries and more. He tries and more. He gets behind. He's on disability. His wife's going to get out of jail in a month. She's in there for violating parole. He's got 9 kids. He's got 25 grandkids. And the harder he works, the more he falls behind. And tears are running down this great big mountain of a man sitting in this. It just broke my heart. See, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. He says, he's just crying, just sobbing. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand why the Lord's doing this, why the Lord won't help me. And I said, brother, I know why. Sin. And he kind of was taken back. I said, not your sin. I said, you probably have sin, but brother, there's sin all around you. I can talk to you about your wife. Your wife's in jail. Sin. This kid screwed up. Well, it's sin. This kid screwed up. It's sin. We live in a fallen world. And the last thing you need to do is lose hope in Christ. He's your only hope. And you spend too much time feeling sorry for yourself. Brother, you gotta serve. You gotta give. You gotta give. I said, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hire you. I'm going to give you a handful of these flyers, these pamphlets. And I want you to go hand them out in your motorized wheelchair. As you go hand those things out, you go serve the Lord. Rather than you sitting around, you waiting for everybody to come and help you, you go serve somebody. Well, you go serve the Lord. I'm telling you, man. When David Arthur gets back, I'm going to let him talk about it. The transformation in that man in the course of 4 hours was unbelievable.
Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted just to make comment quickly on Michelle and her comments. And that's what's so, it's just so sad, hurtful. They don't want to hear or listen. They are almost cold to what is being shared. You're in the heart of that.
The homeless people have more of a soul than those people that are walking up and down the streets.
There's not even, in any other type of protest, you usually get a contingent of people that just are down there because they want to observe and be part of what's going on and just watch. It doesn't even seem that that is the case.
Thousands of people pass by us.
Nobody comes up and says, you've said this before. Oftentimes you'll get the one Christian that kind of sneaks up to you and says, hey, I'm glad you're here. But those buildings are full of people that are going to church on Sunday.
They are, Roger. Walking dead men, too.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
But perhaps you came for that one man. I've told you this, Coach. For better or for worse, you're real. And you know what? People that are searching for something, they're looking for the real. And therefore, you have surrounded yourself with a bunch of real Christians. You think that big fat guy would have been attracted to just fake, false, no salt Christianity? But you know what? He saw something real and genuine. So I commend you for being real. For better or worse, Coach, you're real. And that's what I want to follow, because Jesus is real.
Amen. Thanks, George. Let me tell you this. Now, listen, I want you to receive this in the way that I say it, okay? I want you to receive this. I want you to understand that I'm not saying this in any way, shape, or form to puff myself up. I want you to – you can think that if you want. But I want to teach you guys a lesson here. So this Jim, this big guy in this wheelchair, all day – David, come over here a minute and tell what big Jim said to you. Because I said, David, you got to go over and talk to this guy. This guy doesn't. David's got his phone going. Hang on. Stay with me a second. This guy has no hope. He has no hope. I said, David, he has no hope. And David, tell them the transformation that you saw take place in Big Jim.
Wow. When I went down there to talk to this man, all you saw was despair, hurt, anger, and he was just a mess. But he was a mess at the same time. He said it doesn't matter how bad everything is, he said, because the Lord told me to come out here.
I'm down here today
and pass out some literature and get involved in what you folks are doing. He said, because I wouldn't have 20 something grandchildren if I believed in abortion. He's like, I wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't allow my children to do that. But so here's this man full of despair. And then I see him a couple hours later where I took a walk. And I seen him like 3-4 blocks away passing out literature.
Wearing a cross hat.
Yeah. I gave him my hat. He said, I really like that hat. I said, well, here, you can have it. He started crying over that. You know, and he's 4 blocks away at a mall passing out literature for OSA. He's down at a farmer's market 8 blocks away passing out literature. When I seen him a couple hours later, he had a smile. He was shining. He was bright. He had purpose.
I bet he shows up today.
Oh, he'll be there. He said he would. And that purpose, you could see it all over him. And it was all Jesus.
Sure.
But And since I walked away to get coffee, I don't know exactly what you said about it, but I have to say this. Pastor Salt Ministries does much more than anybody knows they do. And the reason I'm saying that is because this man was going to lose his home because he couldn't pay his rent. Well, Pastor Salt Ministries met with his landlord yesterday and paid the man's rent and took care of it.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
Hey, there, put that out there. So for all the people that watch the show and that join in the queue, if everybody gave one set amount every month that they could, SL Ministries done more for me than I could ever talk about. So when I saw what they did for that, for Jim, it was amazing because the man has purpose and the man isn't. And now he's going to work. He's working. Coach hired him yesterday. Coach hired him. Coach gave him a job. He said, well, I have to go down to this and try to get some work today so I can make some money. And Coach said, well, no, I'm going to hire you today. You're going to work for Pastor Salt Ministries today. He did.
Are you going to 1099 him?
And he worked hard. Okay, he was in a wheelchair. But
I wish I was there with you.
And what I saw was he went down to the Amish farmers market, and he knows all those people from going down there. He went down there and talked to them, passed out literature. A man came, an Amish man came from that farmers market to the OSA event, talked to the people, grabbed a sign, and went and stood proudly on that street holding an abortion sign. Mm. So it was all worth it just for that. And again, you just don't know what Pastor Salt Ministries does because Coach don't talk about it. And I'm going to talk about it because it needs to be talked about.
Thanks, David. Pull up James 2, Jared. James 2. Let me finish the story. But I did say to Big Jim, I'm going to hire you today. I want to hire you. He was going to go down the panhandle. That's what he was going to go do. And I said, no, I want you. Will you work for us today and work for the Lord? No, Roger, I didn't 1099 him yet. And he'd explained to me what was going on. He was about to be evicted, and he didn't have any water, and it was just a sad story. So I said, listen, Jim, call your landlord. You call your landlord. I want to talk to your landlord. Just testing the waters, right, folks? Listen, I don't give out cash. I don't give out cash to guys like that. You go drink it. I wasn't gonna have that app. I'm sorry, my face is so dark. I said, get a hold of your landlord, Jim. I don't want you to get evicted. So about an hour and a half later, Jim comes rolling up to me. He's got his hat on, which David gave him. I didn't know that, David, that you gave him the hat. Comes rolling up to me with his hat on and telling me the story. He says, hey, by the way, he says, my landlord's right over here. I'm about crap. What? Yeah, he's right over here. He parked in that car. So I went over and I grabbed my checkbook and I went over and tapped on the window and guy opened the door and I jumped in the passenger seat and said, listen, I've heard the story from Jim. Jim says he's about to lose his house. Tell me the story. What's going on? Is this guy just a drunk? What's going on here with Jim? The landlord was very, very pleasant. He says, listen, he said, I'm trying to run a business and people don't pay me. I'm trying to live. I said, no, I get it. I understand, sir. I understand the whole thing. What I want to know is Jim just blowing the money? What's going on there? He said, oh, no, this guy, no, he's not at all. No, he works hard and he's fallen on some hard times. He said, I feel really bad about it and I can help him. He said, I got bills I have to meet too. I said, no, I understand it. I understand it. So I said, how much would it cost to keep him in where he is? He says, well, first of all, I'd never throw him out. But here's what he owes me. And I wrote him a check. Because I'm in James 2. James 2. It's up there. My brethren, have not the faith of our God, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You understand something? That man is a child of God. You understand that? And no matter what his lot in life is, he's a follower of Christ. And no matter what's happened to him, that's a child of God. And he's just as important in the eyes of God as Donald Trump. It's hard for us to understand, but it says it right here, no respect of person. For if they're coming to you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring, dressed real nice, get the picture here, don't you? And there come also a man poor in vile raiment. And you have respect to him that's got those nice clothes on. And you say, sit here, sit in this good place. And then you say to the poor guy, hey, dude, go stand over there. We go. Hey, you can come in, but get over there. And ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts. Listen, my brothers, he says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by that which you are called? And if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Jim was my neighbor. But, verse 9, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You understand what they're saying here? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all of it. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, don't kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet you kill, then you become a transgressor of the law. So speak you and do as you say, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment. Listen to this, my friends. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. Are you following? Do you hear this? For he shall have judgment without mercy if you've showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices, wow, against judgment. Mercy does. And hey, boys, here's where I'm going. What is a prophet? Verse 14, my brothers. Though a man says he has faith and hath not works, can his faith save him? And if a big fat guy in a motorized wheelchair comes up to you and he's naked and he's destitute and he doesn't have anything to eat, and one of you saying to him, oh, brother, I feel bad for you. I'll be praying for you, brother. Depart in peace. Be warmed and be filled. God's going to provide for you. Notwithstanding, you don't even give him those things which he needs for his body. Pardon me. What the heck is wrong with you? So you can blab your mouth all you want to. If your faith doesn't have any works, dude, it's dead. I noticed this yesterday. I'll open it up here in just a second. I noticed it yesterday again. Oh, man, we're so lost. Our nation is so lost. We're so lost. And that's what Michelle was getting on when she did her little preaching stint there. That was her point. These walking dead men, these office buildings filled with all these people making all this money. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. And no emotion to them. Come on in. I'll shut up a minute.
Dave, I wanted to comment on that. See, they said God will do it. Well, see, he put that person in his path to take some time to, like on your example there about the guy with no shoes, that, you know, you came across him. So it's up to us to help that Samaritan, or to be a good Samaritan, and to see, help him. You know,
God, he was drawn to us. The Lord drew him to us. And then the Lord drew me to him.
You took action. You took action.
Right.
No, you didn't know what you were going to do. You were led to what to do. And so we need to be open ourselves up to opportunities. If you're not out there, then how are you going to have an opportunity? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, it's like these people that want to meet someone, but they stay in their room all the time at their house. And say they're not going to mail a person to you that loves you. It's going to be your perfect knight in shining armor or whatever.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, can I throw 2 cents in here?
Yeah, sure.
This is the perfect opportunity to explain that Jesus, when he told the disciples about being careful where they gave that precious word of God, where they planted it at, this is perfect opportunity to say that the Bible works together. It completes itself. And when Hebrews 5 talks about learning to discern, practicing discernment, Coach, you've told us so many times on those shows, not everybody is our brother in Christ. Not everybody is a child of God. But your discernment was able to pick it up that this fellow was. Now, and you have to, like you said, learn to look beyond his present circumstances. It is not what his circumstances are that should move us. It is who he is that should motivate us.
Amen, Larry. And you know what, folks? Listen, there are plenty of homeless people down there. I wasn't walking around handing out cash and handing out checks. You understand? Wasn't. I was drawn. He was drawn to us. He told me that the Lord told him to come down there, and he came. And there I was, face to face with him, and I was drawn to him. You gotta listen to the Holy Spirit on that. And so that's a point. His faith in Christ so increased yesterday. We can't miss those opportunities. Somebody else, go ahead. Nobody.
Well, I guess let me throw in something real fast. So, John got hacked yesterday with some stupid video. I already reported the idiot. So anyone who got the video from John, just be sure to install some good anti-malware software. I've taken care of the report. If you want to join me, you can.
John, I missed that, Vinny. John, who got hacked?
John Brockhouse.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, probably after he went on and talked about his success taking that friggin' abortion clinic out.
Hey, Coach, that's called faith. That's called faith in action, what you're doing there. And I want to be there with you next year. I'm going to be there next year, Lord willing.
Brother, I'm so refreshed in the spirit. I can't even tell you, man.
Hey, Kurt.
Hang on. See, when you go serve, something happens deep inside of you that you can. I have a connection with big old Jim that will never be broken. See, that's why it says it's better to give than it is to receive, because he knew I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to do that. And I fought the whole thing in my own heart. Am I just playing into this game? Am I being conned here? Is he just going to take this money and go? That's why I didn't give him the money. That's why I called his landlord, because that confirmed to me that the need was real, right? And that there, I'm telling you, he's going to be down there this morning. He's going to be down there this morning with his hat on, because why? Hope deferred maketh a heart sick. He had no hope. His heart was so sick. And the Lord said to him, you go down there on that square. He didn't know we were down there. He said, you go down there on that square. And we were there to bring hope to him. I was unbelievable. Come on in. I'm sorry.
Coach, you know, what you did was compassionate. You could call it even compassionate capitalism. Because what Big Jim did, see, Jim's response confirmed what the Spirit was showing you. And I think what Larry's saying is right on. We have to be careful where we give our money, because that's true. God is never motivated by a need. He's motivated by faith. And Amen. Jim proved his faith when you made the offer, faith by his works. And that's awesome. So that's really what we're looking for.
Georgia, the first one, I said, Jim, I would like to. He told me he was going to have Bill Panhandle. He showed me his little sign. I said, no, Jim, not today. I want to hire you. He never hesitated, man. He could have gone down, sat on that corner and held his sign. He never hesitated. I gave a man a purpose. You understand? I gave him a purpose in his heart. And I'm going to tell you something. Those of us, those who make fun of us here, some of you guys are getting purpose. Every time you watch this show and you hear these stories and you interact with one another, purpose comes alive in your heart. And Garrett, like Gary just said, man, I want some of that. I want my life to have some meaning. Call it a cult if you want to. I think it's a good cult. I think there's great things that are going on here. And not only that, man, my heart's so encouraged today. Rob Pugh comes all the way down from Wisconsin. Pastor Mike Spaulding drives over yesterday. Rich shows up last week. Richard Rapp shows up, and his buddy Rick shows up. I mean, because this is where the lost people are here. They're not in your church. Yeah, well, maybe they are. But they're here. They're here. And you know what, Roger? Broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many and few. If you stand with us on the streets here in Indianapolis, and that thing will come to life for you. You know, one of the most amazing things of all, I've been down there 3 days, I've been down there, going to go down there again today. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people passing by you, and there haven't been two Christians have come over and said, thanks for being here. I agree with it. Not twice. They walk by like zombies. It's amazing. Somebody come on in.
Dave.
Yeah, Rob.
Sorry.
I don't want to take it in the direction I'm going because it's more political than spiritual. I think of our nation having an outcry about all of these illegal immigrants and giving them rights and things to vote. And then I think the church constantly moving overseas, trying to minister in missions overseas. And what I hear today is it's all here, and it's our own people. It's our own citizens. It's our own neighbor right here in this country. And I'm not talking about government handouts. I'm just talking about people hurting and needing Christ, needing hope. And we're worried about illegal immigrants by the thousands, and we're worried about going overseas. It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense, Roger. And again, here's what we've got to understand, man. Oh my goodness, we are called to Jerusalem first. We are called to our own people in our own place. Jerusalem first, then Judea, then to the othermost parts of the world. And I saw these young kids that we have. There's probably 200 kids under the age of 20 that are here. And I saw them. We were standing out. Folks, look. We have the prophetic ministry, the thus saith the Lord abortion ministry, alive in their face. And do you understand that the prophetic ministry leads to mercy? Can you guys see that? That the prophetic, thus saith the Lord, stop killing babies, leads to broken men like Jim being drawn to it. And the idea that you can just go to Haiti and build somebody a house, well, God bless you. Where's the prophetic side of that ministry? Where is it? The opportunity to really speak into the heart of people. And so there we are standing in front of the display, right in front. I was up on steps above some of these young kids, I'm talking 17, 18 years old. Three of them are standing there. And then this old guy comes up, Roger, he's like you, probably an attorney. And so he comes up and he starts arguing and debating and showing the wisdom of the world and talking to, picked on these kids, right? I'm going to go put these 17-year-old kids in their place. And they come over and he starts in on the, you know where they go when they're talking about abortion and a fetus and it viability and on and on and on. And I'm telling you, I'm standing up behind him and I'm just getting ready to move in because this dude has come and he's decided he's going to pick on these kids and I'm ready to come in and put him in his place. And I didn't have to. Those 17-year-old kids undressed that guy like you can't even believe. And he walked away with his tail between his legs, man. is unbelievable. Come on in. Richard Rapp just walked in here with his Jesus visor on. We're in McDonald's. Hey, buy some at McDonald's today. They've given us free internet here. Somebody come on in.
Dave, I was just going to say, you know, when you talk about those other churches or whatever that are there and they haven't lifted a finger to come by to see you or tell you glad you're there or anything. When we were in Port Arthur, Texas, down here with the hurricane and rebuilding those houses, there's 110 churches down there, and not one of them ever stopped by one night to help us feed anybody down there or volunteer to give preach for one night.
Amen.
No, not one. In all those 11 weeks, not one. So it's no surprise, I guess.
They tell us how much they care about souls. Well, brother, they're right down. We're in the belly of the beast. That's where they are. they're by the thousands. There's fish jumping all around them. And ain't nobody down there throwing in a line, right? That's it. Come to our church. Come to our – it's been amazing. Hey, listen, let me throw you some tinfoil hat stuff in there. We're down there at that a war memorial, which is – this is a place we are. It's called One Monument Square. There's a big monument that we're set up in front of, which is a monument to those who died in the Civil War and those who died in the Spanish-American War from Indiana. It's there. And you know what, guys? I hate to tell you. I wish I had a tinfoil hat here. It was all demonic. Phoenix there. Isis was there. The goddess Isis, she was there. They got Baphomets. It's unbelievable. A phallic symbol. All of it. There it is, Jared. And I mean, guys, to see how deep this evil. Click on that one right in the middle. Yeah, on that one, Jared. That's where we set up, folks, right in front of that thing. You see what's going up around it, all the gargoyles and all that stuff all around this. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And we can deny it all we want to. There are evil spirits. See, that tinfoil hat, okay? That's a phallic symbol. That is a phallic symbol. And who is standing on top of that phallic symbol? Why, some woman. Isis, they told me is who it is. Masonic symbols all around this. I'll just tell you guys. Yeah, get out of your church and get down and engage, and you'll never be the same. Come on in here. I'll take my hat off a minute.
You know that being a phallic symbol and stuff. Those that really don't grasp that aspect of it. Think about this. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up."
Uh-huh.
Well, that tall structure is not lifting Jesus up because who'd they put on top? That's all you got to think about.
Larry, that what an observation that is, brother. That is the truth. And see, so everybody comes to that war memorial thinking that they're honoring the soldiers, right? And, you know, that was the disguise they used to honor it. But no, they got a phallic symbol and they're lifting up somebody other than Jesus right in the heart of downtown Indianapolis. Come on in. Got about 10 minutes. I don't have anything else to show you. I don't have any more preaching from Michelle. There it is. There it is. Jared's got it up there on our screen.
I've got something to pass on to Michelle, even if she's still not your wife. what it is this. You know, there's a place in the Bible that I believe God is talking to Moses. And he says, you know, talking about the impact of what he's saying. And he says, you know, even these rocks right here, these rocks have heard these words. You talked about those vibrations that are stored. And we use rocks as memory things inside our computers. That memory thing is nothing but a piece of silicone. That's a rock. Mm. Now, and the words that Michelle spoke yesterday, those words went in to the minds of those people. Now, I know that sometimes the words get snatched away by the devil immediately, okay? But even if the word got snatched away immediately somewhere, if a rock can absorb sound and hold sound and be a witness, there's one place in the Bible, I think it talks about a rock being a witness, then surely those words, somewhere, somehow, those people cannot unhear those words. They can refuse to pay attention to them. They can refuse and dig their heels in and not respond to them, but they cannot unhear the words that Michelle spoke.
Amen, brother.
Hey, listen, hey Coach.
Yeah, George.
Coach. Hey, I got to say this. Tell Michelle that was epic. You talk about true feminism and a true liberated woman, because Michelle is, I know she's under your authority as the husband, but you talk about a woman that's liberated and led by the Spirit. And you tell me women can't have powerful ministries and do powerful things for the Lord. That's the ultimate definition of feminism and liberated woman in my book.
Amen. Okay, now let me shift gears on you one more time. Maybe I ought to put a tinfoil hat on. Maybe I shouldn't. Hey, Jared, I want you to Google this for me, Jared. Google Lilith, L-I-L-I-T-H, Lilith. No, not in the Bible, just Lilith, L-I-L-I. Okay, now, you ready for this, guys? Jared, take that off the screen a minute. No, it's okay. You can leave it there. We were dealing with some demon-possessed young lady that was down there yesterday. This story is wow. And so people kept trying to pray with her and all that kind of stuff. And somebody came over and says, Coach, there's something wrong with her. There's something wrong with that girl over there. And we've tried, and she keeps quoting the Bible and blah, 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 blah. So I went over there, and she's about 20, maybe 21. And I looked her in the eyes, and I knew there was something in her. You understand what I'm telling you? There was something in her. Her name was Jenny or Kendra, maybe. It doesn't matter what it was. And I walked over to her, and I looked her right in the eye, and I said, hey, listen, in Jesus' name, who else is in there? Boy, her eyes diverted away from me. And I can't remember Kendra. Remember that girl's name, Ray? Lilith girl? Anyway, and I said, hey, in Jesus' name, look at me. Her eyes came back to me, and she looked at me. I said, who else is in there? Who else is in there? In the name of Jesus, identify yourself. She looks at me, and her eyes look deep into me, and she says, Lilith. I said, what? Lilith. Ears pierced, eyes piercing right back at me. I said, Lily? No. Lilith. Whoa. So I keep talking to her, and see another spirit identified. This is real. You don't have to believe it. Doctrines of demons if you want to. And after I get through talking to her, and she didn't want to be delivered, but she was clearly possessed. I Googled Lilith. I've never heard of it in my life. Right out there, I Googled Lilith. Jared, pull that up on the screen. Lilith. Had you guys, anybody ever heard of Lilith? There's a picture over here on the right-hand side. Naked woman with a snake around her. Huh? Now listen to this. Are you ready for this, folks? Lilith is a figure in Jewish mythology developed earliest in the Babylonian Talmud, 3rd to 5th centuries. Listen, abortion display. Don't miss what's going on. Lilith is often envisioned as a dangerous demon of the night who is sexually wanton and who steals babies in the darkness.
Wow.
I'm getting goosebumps even right now. You know why? Because I looked into the eyes of that young lady. And what did the Bible say? They were legion. And you know what? I wasn't afraid. I was in control. I wasn't fearful. But she didn't want to be set free. She didn't want to be set free. Lilith. Has anybody out there ever heard of Lilith before? Look at that picture. Look at that picture that Jared's got there on the screen from Wikipedia. I didn't even go over. Lilith appears as Adam's first wife, it says, who was created at the same time, Rosh Hashanah, and from the same dirt as Adam. Wow. They believe Lilith was a pre-Adamic Eve. And I said to this girl, identify yourself. And she says, Lilith. Oh, man. 7:55, 7:56. Somebody help me wrap this up.
Well, that's some wicked stuff. I mean, I didn't know what to say to that.
Jeez. Huh? Hey, Vinny, I'd never heard of Lilith. I had never heard of Lilith, ever. I'd never heard of it.
I've heard the name, but I've never heard it had the connotation, no. Wow.
We were down there exposing abortion, and who shows up? Lilith.
Lilith herself, yeah. Wow. That's a testament.
It's more than that, see. Now understand that the spiritual world is real, brothers.
It's coming to us. That's right. It's making itself known.
It's too bad you didn't have Russ Dizdar standing right there beside you so he could cast that spirit out of her.
Well,
they got to want it, though. They got to want it, though.
Yes, that's right. I was doing that. I was doing that. I was going to do that. She didn't want it done. She did not want it to be done. So understand the environment in which we were. I wasn't afraid to do it. I'd have done it right there on the street. She didn't want it. Lilith was in charge. She identified three others that were in there. Who knows how many? Wow, it was something.
Dave, let me get in here a second. I just wanted to say right quick, please, this Chad, that if you guys can, you're through our donations, our support on this network of Anklins, of Dave Hodges, of Dave Dobbenmeyer Ministries, of Spalding's Ministry, all these, we're the ones that are holding it up. If
Amen.
You're listening to it, we need to. Look, we just got to do it. I mean, I don't want to hear that you're on SSI or whatever. You ain't got $5 a month. You can't even throw in $5. You know, look, you'll get, if you give it happily, just give happily, whatever you can give, happily.
Amen.
Okay, and it'll
Amen.
Come back to you. It's tenfold. That's what it says. You know, I'm just saying, I'm not talking out of the side of my mouth. I donate a whole lot, okay? I also want to remind folks that we're having a Texas Assembly on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So anybody wants to come, you're welcome to come. Send me an email if you need more information. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'd like to say a big amen to everybody that spoke.
Listen, you guys are the ones who paid that guy's rent yesterday, not me. All right? And I heard somebody, I got a comment from somebody saying, look at him. Raise money. He's got all kinds of money. Well, first of all, that's beside the point. That's beside the point, how much money I have or don't have. You want to be part of the blessing or not? Huh? Do you want to be able to? Can I tell you something? I'm paying David Arthur's bill here. I am. Past the salt is. I'm paying his hotel. I'm paying. I'm carrying. You understand that? Not me. You are. You are. Become part of the blessing, will you?
Get it. Exactly.
Can I piggyback on what Chad said for just a second?
Yeah.
You know, those folks here in the huddle, and I'm sure listening to Pass the Salt this morning or by podcast or whatever, you guys are an amazing bunch of people.
You
Not
are.
Are you helping Coach be able to, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, do the things he's doing, but you're also providing leadership and you're providing support in many other areas. Those of you in Texas are showing up for the Texas Salt and Light Brigade events that are going on down there. Probably the most vitality, full of life, Pass the Salt Brigade that's out there. Not to say the others aren't bad or anything like that, but that is the one that is, somebody's got to have the most in it, and that's the one. And I just want to say thanks to you guys on behalf of STAB. Virtually 80% of the leadership of STAB, the Sound the Alarm Brigade around the country, is from the audience of this program. Now, there are more of you sitting out there that can be leaders for all different kinds of things going on. And if you're a STAB member and you haven't stepped up for leadership yet, you don't have to be a charismatic coach to be a leader. All you have to do is have a burning in your gut to save your grandchildren from having to undergo fighting a guns and bullets war in the streets against Islam. That's what STAB is all about. If we don't, if we're not successful in getting the politicians to pay attention to the problem is going to get so bad, our children and grandchildren will be involved in a guns and bullets war against Islam. That is as simple as it gets.
Boys and girls, we're not a cult. We're an army. We'll see you tomorrow.